Blog Talk Radio.
Take a Run Productions.
And welcome to the URN Radio Network. I'm the Mouth of the South, Paranormal Outlaw, and joining me is Mr. Jeff Sterl. What's going on, Jeff?
Oh, resting. Getting ready for another work week. Anyway, Oh, we lost him. Yeah, call him back. If I know that number. Entertain you guys with the those sounds of my version of elevator music. And here we go. You there?
Yeah, hang on.
I am here. That's weird.
Yeah, you hung up on us.
I know, got hung up on, damn it. So what's been going on?
Work, more work. And that's about it.
Do you watch any of the Super Bowl?
Sadly, yes, I did.
What was up with the commercials, dude? That's the best part.
That hasn't been the best part in like 10 years. That's what people don't understand. They were the best part for so many years, and now just muscle memory tells them to say that. But if you actually observe them, they're not anymore. And, of course, this year's game was about as interesting as listening to golf on the radio. So, it NFL, you suck.
Have you heard the latest? I know it's a paranormal show, but I got to talk about this at the beginning. Hang on a second. The NFL is talking about getting rid of the extra point.
I saw that. Just, are they trying to make their game even lamer than what it already is?
I guess so.
The game sucks. The way they play it now, it sucks anyway. So if they do, it won't surprise me. It'll just be less of a reason for me to watch anyway.
Right.
Somehow this year's game eclipsed all other, television programs and was once again the most watched program in television history. I don't get it.
Well, being in coaching for so many years, it's just like we said, championships are won by defenses, not by offense.
Yep. So all those 55 or 60, however many touchdown passes Peyton Manning threw and all those records he broke, really doesn't mean nothing now.
Yep. Well, I mean, I came from a high school that won their first and only state championship game against one of the most high-powered 2A offenses in the United, well, not in the United States, but in Texas, with Colt McCoy as their quarterback. You know, they were averaging 500 yards a game. They were averaging 50 points a game. They were a 3-touchdown favorite over St. Augustine, and we went in there and shut his ass down and beat him.
Yep.
But I knew it was probably going to be like that, but in the back of my mind, I was still hoping Peyton Manning would get him a championship just because I like the dude, you know?
Well, he's already got a ring.
Well, coming back from an injury like he had and all the adversity and being released by the Colts, you know, to take another team to the Super Bowl and win it, that's just icing on the cake, you know, in his career. I like stories like that.
Oh, sure.
So, but whatever, football's over. Now we have the Olympics going on,
which is even less interesting.
Well, I like watching the hockey part of it.
I don't like that because they don't let them fight in Olympic hockey.
You want to see some brawling between the Russians and the United States, huh?
Damn right. If I just wanted to watch skating, I'd watch figure skating.
Oh, Lord.
See, the Olympics would be so much more interesting if they'd let me run it. Because I would have it to where, like when they do figure skating and stuff, you know those little deals they take to baseball games and stuff that they shoot T-shirts out during the seventh inning stretch? I would allow in the Olympics during figure skating the opposing skaters to load those up with potatoes and shoot them at them. And if you could still put off your routine with all that going on, then you deserve all that stuff.
Yeah. That's true. That's true.
And it would be
true.
Interesting to watch. Other than that, I couldn't care less.
I watched something interesting, and I'm sure some people have seen this, but I watch. I'm kind of old school in a lot of things that I do, and when a show like Arsenio Hall comes back on, I used to watch that, you know, growing up. And it's back on, and he's been talking about Sochi, you know, where the Olympics are. And they had some menus, and the Russians trying to convert their language over to the English language, it gets kind of messed up in the mix. And they had a menu, and it said, and this was, you know, a quote from the menu, that you could order ice cream in the ass.
That's awesome.
I think they were trying to say that was abbreviation for assortments, but they had ice cream in the ass. You could get lemonade in the ass. Yeah.
Way to go, Olympics. Way to go.
And they have stalls over there. They have two toilets right next to each other in a single stall. You know, like here, when you go into a stall, it's one toilet. Well, their stalls have two toilets right next to each other.
Why?
Could you imagine sitting there within a foot of someone else taking a dump and you're trying to take a dump?
Sadly, I've had that happen.
Oh, man. I just don't know about that. It was what?
Twas not pleasurable at all.
Well, like Arsenio said in the photograph they showed, These people, I know. My wonderful family has not figured out that I'm on the air after I sent them a text and said, quit calling. I am on the air. Lord have mercy.
Excuse me. Are you responding to him?
No. God damn it, now it's on the other phone. Stop! Oh, God almighty.
This is pretty entertaining.
Yeah. Oh, God. But anyway, where were we? Oh. Yeah. So, I mean, it's kind of weird this weekend. I didn't have football to watch, so I'm having to find other avenues to have entertainment now.
The Arena League starts up pretty soon.
Arena? I'm just not into arena football.
Why not? It's the same as regular football, only indoors. Actually, more violent.
Yeah. Oh.
Back to your kicker.
Right. I don't know. It's just been pretty crazy, you know, trying to figuring out other things to do. Probably review some of the evidence that I have sitting on my computer that could be reviewed. And get some of that out, you know. I even thought about putting some more videos out from some of the cases that we've had in the past.
Cool.
Because we still have our YouTube account, so I still have that up, so I might put more stuff on it. For those listening, we don't have Martin tonight. He was unable to make it, just so you know. It's just Jeff and I tonight. We also, our guests tonight, let me go ahead and read a little bit about them, and I believe they're on hold. If you want to go check that out, I'll...
Let me check who this is.
All right. Tonight's guests are members of All Girl Paranormal Society. Their goal is to prove the existence of the paranormal by doing research and collecting evidence that can prove life goes on, to ease the fear and to give individuals peace of mind and comfort knowing that we do go on after this life. You can find them at www.allgirlparanormalsociety.com. So that is our guest tonight. Are you back, Jeff?
We're back.
All right. Did you find out who was on hold?
We have Jordan here.
All right. We have one of our guests. Jordan, are you with us?
We are there. How are you guys tonight?
Doing good. How are you?
We are all good. Thanks for letting us come on the show.
Not a problem. Who do you have with you?
I have Lori, my partner and my co-founder, and I have our manager, Andrew, with us tonight, and our daughter, Haley, who is one of our investigators as well.
Very nice. Well, to start off, for everybody out there, just kind of, for you personally, Jordan, give us a little bit of information on how you got involved in the paranormal and got started with this group.
Well, me personally, pretty much it's similar. Lori and I have been doing this our whole lives in one form or another. Our bloodlines, our family histories, our roots. So when we got together and found out that things were similar and interests were similar, and that we were blessed with the opportunity to do it. We both, after appearing on My Ghost Story Caught on Camera, we retired from our respective jobs, and we started our team, All Girl Paranormal Society, here in Colorado Springs, and we've been rolling ever since.
Very nice. So you guys are out of Colorado?
Yes, we are. Colorado Springs, about 70 miles south of Denver.
Yeah. That's a beautiful state right there. I've only been there once, but it's very, very beautiful.
Thank you. I was born and raised here. We like it. It's just abnormally cold this year.
Yeah. And Jeff and I were just talking about, because we didn't broadcast last Sunday because we were watching the Super Bowl with everybody else. So we were talking about that. Unfortunately, Denver didn't win, but they had a good season.
Well, they had a great season, but wow, not win. Oh, my goodness, it was horrible.
Yeah, they got their butt kicked.
I'm not even sure they were there. I mean, it was bad. It was bad.
Yeah. So in Colorado, what kind of, is there a lot of historical places where you guys are at?
Yeah, we are right next to, about 15 minutes away from historical Manitou Springs. And Colorado Springs, of course, was, started by General William Palmer. So there's many places here that are of historical value. And in Manitou Springs, Dr. William Bell and, his crew, they built up Manitou Springs. And Manitou has got some fantastic, fantastic haunted locations and haunted history. So we're pretty blessed in the general area right here to have a lot of places that are pretty fruitful.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And I didn't get to talk to you guys prior to the show, but we're pretty laid back here, so you guys can all chime in. I know there's more than one of you over there, but, yeah, we love just talking and talking to paranormal, just so you know. Trying to make y'all feel welcome.
Well, thank you. Thank you. We do feel welcome, and that's one of our favorite things to do. It's our passion. It's what we do 24/7. We consider it our full-time jobs. And, even though we don't make any money out of it, it's okay. We're blessed to be able to do it 24/7. And we love talking paranormal, too. That's the best talk ever.
Right. So how long has your group been together? How long has All Girl Paranormal Society been together?
We've been officially together about a year and a half as an actual card-carrying, shirt-wearing team. But again, all of my group in one form or another have been around and been doing this privately and on our own. But the actual team with the name and the shirts and the hoodies and the business cards, about a year and a half.
Yeah. Well, that's a good thing, too, in the fact that you guys have worked prior to, kind of making it an official thing, with the cards and the shirts and whatnot. But there's so many teams that, in the paranormal. I've been in the paranormal for about 5 years now. There's a lot of fly-by-night paranormal groups. You see them pop up everywhere, and they don't usually last long for one reason or another, So longevity in the field is hard to find nowadays, it seems.
I think it comes down to the commitment and a passion. And you're right, and in fact, we just got called a fly-by-night team that showed up out of the woodwork because somebody hadn't heard of us before and said we were popping up out of the woodwork. Well, no, not really. You could have asked me before you, splashed that all over the world and asked me about our experience and the things we've been doing. Just because we didn't have a team name doesn't mean that we just came out of the woodwork. I think it comes down to a passion and a commitment and how much you want to put into it and why you're doing it.
Well,
it's the why that's a real big factor in all of this.
Yeah, exactly. And it seems like, I've we've been doing this radio show for about 3 years, and every individual we've interviewed in 3 years that's in the field, in some form or fashion, has somebody around them that harasses them or you know, talks trash. You know, it seems like that's just a common thing in our field, and I know it's in every kind of field, jobs and whatnot, but, you know, there's just so much of this high school BS that goes on with jealousy of teams and certain teams trying to get TV shows and this, that, and other. You know, and I've always said if those people that spend all their time on the internet bashing people would focus more on their groups and why they're in the paranormal, and we would actually further this field a little bit more where we have some more answers. But it ain't happening anytime soon.
No, we absolutely agree. And, you know, it's a tough, Lori came up with the expression one day that the paranormal field, they tend to want to eat their young. They do. They're ruthless. I mean, you know, our daughter is 13, and we see the same games in the adult paranormal field that we see them playing in the eighth grade. And we don't understand it. We don't understand it at all.
Yeah, Jeff and myself, I was a teacher for 9 years. Of course, Jeff's still teaching, but we saw that all the time when we were teachers, you know? And then we got in the paranormal field and had to deal with it with adults.
Isn't it amazing? I know. It's absurd. Yeah, like Lori just said, it's absurd. It's absurd. I mean, if you, this is our opinion on the bashing, like you said, I mean, take a little more time and go out and work with the distressed spirits you're supposed to be working with instead of turning around and bashing me because my team got a little radio exposure during Halloween. Who cares? You know, Lori and I, we're passionate about if you get some evidence and you know at the end of the day that your integrity stands and that evidence is real and true and you know, you believe it and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there's no other way to explain it, well, man, kudos to you. Good for you. Share it with us. We'll share it on our page. We'll do whatever you need. And we're passionate about that. You know, people are throwing around the term paranormal unity, yet I don't know where they're getting their definition of unity because we're all about the share. We're all about the rejoicing in other people's experiences and accomplishments, and this post I read last night it blew me away. It blew me away. I couldn't believe it. You know, if you have a question about All Girl Paranormal Society and what we've done or what we're doing, and it just doesn't sit well with you, you know, you've got my email, you've got my Facebook page, you've got my phone number. Call and talk to me.
Yeah.
You know, let's see if we can work this out. You don't need to splatter it all over the universe.
Oh, yeah, I know for a fact. We've been a victim of that ourselves, and it's just part of it. Now I've lost train of thought. Damn it. Oh, but, yeah, you know, and I talk to teams all across the United States, and it seems like this is the common thing that goes on, you know, and I find a lot of teams that are truly in it for, you know, the greater good, and that's why I get them on the radio shows, because those are the ones that should get credit for doing great things in the field and not, you know, going around bashing folks.
Well, it seems like a waste of time and energy to me, but that's just me.
No, we don't do that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You know, we've never bashed anyone, you know, publicly like that. And we've actually, you know, there are people that we have done just what I said. We've asked them, hey, why did you do this or why did you do it that way, you know, or why did you present it this way? We're just, you know, we want to know. It didn't seem, you know, right to us, or it didn't seem something to us. And can you share it with us? Because maybe you sharing it with us will learn something. And the teams that are willing to, you know, be honest and say this is why we did it this way or why we didn't do it that way, we've learned so much from those other teams. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I just, you know, it's an honesty thing that I don't get why they just can't beyond, you know, just ask. Just ask.
Yeah. No, they'd rather, the way I put it with all this is the people that are doing that were sadly probably people that were bullied when they were in school, and the only way they can get back at people is bully through the internet, especially Facebook. Facebook is the death of a lot of paranormal teams with what gets posted on there. I see it all the time through the news feed with people across the United States in the field getting, you know, just all kinds of crazy stuff. And, of course, you'll get to talk to my other co-host on my other show on Tuesday nights, Jody. She had an all-girl paranormal team, and they put those girls through the ringer when it came to bashing them because they did things a little bit different. But we'll talk about that when we get on that show. But with y'all's investigations, what kind of techniques do y'all use? What do y'all do when y'all go on an investigation? Of course, investigating a historical place or a place you have to pay for is a little bit different from a residential case.
Absolutely. You know, we started this, and we continue to hold very strong to this belief that, you know, we started this for the residentials. We started this for the families that have called us scared to death. We're working on one now where all her kids are sleeping in her bed. You know, the families are scared. They're distressed. They don't know what to do. Are they crazy? You know, you've heard it all. And we started this for them. And yeah, the big historical places and the places you have to pay for, they're a blast. They're fantastic. I'd never stop doing them. And they give us the best experience and the best time. But we try to stay close to our roots. I'd cancel. I don't care if I paid $1,000 for a location. I'd cancel it for a family with kids. And
yeah,
we really hold firm to that. You know, we believe that it's not just the people that we're trying to help. If you have spirits that are making so much of a ruckus that they're scaring people or causing activity to make people question, well, those spirits are in distress and they need us too. So we're not just, you know, we're in it for the spirits too. They need us. They need the availability we have, the talents and abilities and the gifts that paranormal investigators have, and the tools and resources and equipment that paranormal investigating teams have to go in and help them. And, you know, we hold firm to, we're not just there for the people, we're there for the spirits as well.
Oh, absolutely. And with residential cases, every residential case that I've handled has been a complete different case from the one I've had before. You know, they're all different. They're all unique in the way because you don't really know what the heck you're going into when you go there. I mean, whether it is actual spirit activity or someone in the house kind of wanting attention and kind of making up a lot of the stories, you know. Sometimes it seems like when you go into a case, when they first call you all panicking and scared, they tell you these outrageous stories, and then when you get there, the activity is not, or the situation is not as bad as what they make it out to be on the phone, you know?
We're shaking our heads. You know, that's why, you know, we'll go in on a pre-investigation, and Lori has natural bloodline gifts. You know, she can walk into a location and pretty much determine what's going on. If it's bad, if it's, you know, Grandma Lucy that's earthbound, you know, what's happening. Or the worst things that we have found, and I this is awful when this happens, is when you go to a residential and you go through the pre-investigation, you get all their experiences, and they're begging you to do an investigation versus maybe just a blessing. So you go back with all your equipment, everything that you have, and then you have to turn around and tell the people that it's their energy, that they're causing a manifestation with the fighting or the, you know, the the family discord or the depression or whatever it is that's the case, and you have to try to explain to them that it's really not paranormal. And that's one of the worst things to have to explain, because then they, you know, get all defensive and, you know, you're just trying to help, but it's really not paranormal. It's your energy. People don't get that our energy is intense. Our energy as human beings is intense, and it can cause many manifestations that may look paranormal, but it's not paranormal at all.
Oh, yeah. I've explained to some people that are new in the paranormal, and I've even explained to some new members on my team, but I use this description to kind of explain energy. And I said, have you ever walked into a room that two people are arguing? You know, you're in another room, you come out into a room where two people are arguing, the energy is so freaking thick. You can feel the energy because they've changed the energy of that room. And everybody's like, yeah, I've always noticed that, but that didn't ever really dawn on me. And I said, well, now you know. I said, because our bodies are in tune to energies. You know, it affects us. And, you know, when you do the paranormal long enough, it doesn't matter if you have gifts or not, because we're all gifted. It's just some of us are shut off, you know, and we got to open back up. But ever since I started, I've gotten where I can walk in a room and I can feel if it's real bad energy, if it's negative energy, I can feel it, you know. And that's just part of it. Like you said, you know, energy is a major factor when we're dealing with not only the paranormal, but us as human beings.
Exactly. And sometimes you just, you know, sometimes it turns out that you turn into almost therapists instead of, you know, paranormal investigators, because these families called you in for what they thought was a legitimate paranormal situation. You found out otherwise, and you kind of have to talk them through it and just explain, you know, guys, if you handle, you know, try to handle it this way, you know, try to handle it that way. You know, we're not licensed therapists, but sometimes you have to play that role because, you know, just like you said, you walked in the room and you know absolutely that it's not paranormal. It's just some bad energy going on in that house.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and, you know, and it comes with a lot of experience. And I've told many new teams that, you know, I've just started out. I've given them advice, and I've told them, do not take on any residential cases till you've done some more investigating of just like historical places and whatnot, and get some investigations under your belt and actually network and talk to other teams and more experienced paranormal investigators and read books, you know, get a lot of knowledge before you start undertaking these residential cases, because when you take on a residential case, you're taking these people's lives in your hands. You're taking their well-being, and they're trusting you to come into their home and help them. And, you know, I've actually, Jeff and I have been called into cases where we're the second team that the clients have called, because the first team went in there and just made a mess of what's going on. And then we have to go in and clean it up.
Been there, done that a few times. And, you know, as a matter of fact, what we do when we have new investigators, we, you know, our new potential investigators that come on, they have to train with us for 3 months. And during those 3 months, they have to go on a certain amount of investigations that we do at business locations or, you know, paying locations. And we won't even let them go to a residential until they've put in some serious hours, because of what you just said. It's too intense. It's, you know, like you said, the families, you're going in and playing with their emotions and their lives and their fears. And so we don't even let our new investigators go on residentials till they've logged some serious training hours in with us, at least 3 months or more.
I had one team that went into a home to investigation. It was just a spirit that was lingering and, you know, it was attached to the home or whatnot. You know, just it was an earthbound spirit. And it was making a little bit of ruckus. It just wanted attention. And it wanted to, you know, the spirit wanted to tell its story. And, but so I guess they didn't figure all that out. They said, yeah, you have spirits here. And so we're going to do a cleansing. Well, their cleansing involved pouring salt around the perimeter of the house.
The whole
they didn't
perimeter?
Do any, they sealed the house up with salt. So they didn't accomplish anything but seal that spirit inside the house. They didn't get rid of it. They just sealed it in, you know, without knowing it, because they thought that that was what they were supposed to do. You know, they don't know the proper procedures for doing cleansings. So they just said, yeah, we'll just put some salt around, and you know, then the client calls and goes, well, the activity's still going on, and it's even, you know, even more intense than it was before. And then they told me what they did, and I said, well, I hate to say this, but what they did was they sealed that spirit inside that house.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, and we, you know, people will call us and, you know, bless their hearts because they've done research on the internet and they've read about saging, so they'll go out and buy sage and sage their house but not open any doors or windows. So
yeah,
then they
yeah.
call us in and say, we don't understand. We've been saging once a week for, you know, 6 months. It's like, well, all you're really doing is chasing them from room to room. You got to give them a way
yeah.
out. You know, so, we've done that
yeah.
too, my friend. We've been there too.
Well, and they also don't understand with the whole saging process, it's not just about burning that sage. It's about your intent, your spiritual intent when you burn that sage. Because it's something, the reason you burn something, it comes back from the Native Americans, and people don't know this. God created these things, right? They're from the earth. So when you burn it, you're calling upon God, the creator, whoever you believe in, is the creator of the earth, and you're using that smoke to move those spirits out of the house. And like you said, if you don't have any windows or doors open, that smoke doesn't go anywhere. So...
We're talking about this. We had this conversation today with someone on the phone. And when I was asking, well, you know, when you're saging, what are you saying? You know, what
yeah.
exactly is the litany, if you will, that you're saying? And well, and the answer was, you know, we're just saying go away. And I didn't want to laugh out loud, and so I used the analogy. I said, so here's the deal. I come into your house, and I'm a real jerk. And I stay in your house, and I continue being a real jerk. Are you just going to look at me and say, gee, Jordan, I really wish you'd go away? You know, no. You know, so we had to go through just what you said. We had to go through the litany of your higher power, who it is you call on. The sternness behind what you're saying. They're asking in the name of the higher power, asking in the name of the universe, asking in the name of whatever it is that you're holding, whatever faith you're holding on to, you know, and doing that blessing and cleansing while you sage. You can't just sit there and say, golly gee, I wish you'd go away. You know,
yeah, because if I told Jeff, if he was being a jerk and I just told him to get out of my house, he wouldn't leave. Would you, Jeff?
Exactly. I'd sit my butt right down and, you know, crack open another beer and say, what? Huh?
I'd just start praying.
You know, who are you talking to?
What, Jeff?
I'd just start breaking shit.
That's what I do. You bet.
But, yeah, you know, and the one thing that I... And I've had several cases that were demonic after a lot of research and a lot of time at the home. But saying that, there are teens out there that it seems like, you know, with Hollywood and the shows on television, everything is focused on the evil. You know, it's not focused on the good. It's focused on the evil. And I've heard so many teens that'll say, well, I got a case going on right now, and it's demonic. And then so I'll ask them, you know, how do they know? And they'll give me some lame-ass, you know, like, you know, evidence. And I'm like, dude, do you really know? And they're like, well, we're just going on a hunch. I said, you can't go on a hunch with these kind of things. Either it is or it isn't, because there's two, you know, there's different directions you got to take depending on what kind of spirit you're dealing with. And I said, you've got a family involved, and you got to make the right choice. So, you know, and some of these teams, they'll do an investigation, and they'll tell the homeowners, yeah, you got a demon in the house. Well, if there is one there, number one, you just scared the hell out of those people, right?
Exactly. Promote the fear, that's the way to be.
Yeah, you just thrown in the fear cage where now it's going to get all the power it can get. Two, if there isn't one, you're still scared the hell out of those people, and it's not even that, you know? And I had a case recently where an individual, a mom called me panicking. It was like a Saturday night. She called me panicking and crying, and her daughter was being possessed, right? And before I even jumped to conclusion of what the hell was going on, I just went through the process like you normally do, asking questions, and because she, at the time, I could hear in the background screaming and shit. They had like five grown adults holding down this 12-year-old, and she was screaming out stuff, and they had gotten a minister over there, but he wasn't, I don't know what denomination he was, but he was one of the denominations that really doesn't have a lot of knowledge in you know, demonology. But so I had to try to calm the situation down. I called my friend that's a bishop in the Catholic Church that's also in the paranormal field and got some advice from her. And then I talked to my demonology friend. See, nowadays I've learned in the course of being an investigator that I can't usually handle cases by myself. I got to call friends in the field that are very knowledgeable and get them in the mix so I can get opinions so that collectively I can make the right choice for this family and get the right people involved, you know. And, of course, it's all about knowing the right people, too, because there are people out there that say they can help, but they really don't. But anyway, come to find out, the girl had gifts. She was very gifted, very powerful. She didn't know how to control them, and she has the ability to channel. And what was happening, we found out later, was talking to my demonology buddy, who's also a shaman and full-blooded Cherokee, that Native American spirits can, if they're upset, can make a situation or a case look like it's demonic when it's not. Because of just the way, just so how powerful the Native Americans are and what they can do, you know, with the girl, she was speaking another language. Well, she wasn't speaking what you normally come across in a demonic case with Latin or Sumerian or any of those type of things. The girl was actually speaking a Native American tongue. And she kept saying, see, we had to put all these pieces together, but I was on the phone with this lady for about 3 hours. But we started putting the pieces together, and she was talking about people dancing around the fire. She kept saying that. Well, who of all people dance around the fire? Native Americans. The house they were living in was on Native American land. I actually did a three-way call with her and my demonology friend out of North Carolina. And through the course of that, we started talking about Native Americans and steps to do some offerings to the Native Americans to settle them down for whatever reason they were stirred up and picking on this girl. And through the course of that, I guess they heard us because in the background, the daughter started throwing up and the mom goes, well, I got to go. My daughter's throwing up. Well, she hung up, and I was talking to my friend, and I said, you know what that might be? That might be the Indians releasing her. You know, her body's purging everything out because they were inside of her or whatever it might be. Ever since she threw up, and we were talking about the Native Americans, and the family has done some offerings and whatnot, everything's fine. Case is closed. Girl's not having any more problems.
Yeah, you know, it's, you know, I don't know how you, you know, I think based on, you know, what you're saying, you're going to agree with what I'm saying. True possession is so very rare, so very rare, and true demonic is so very rare. And
yeah.
90% of the time when we have somebody call with the demonic issue, we find out that basically if you were a pissy person in life, you're going to be a pissy person in death. And, you know, I know some pretty crappy people on this earth right now that can make a whole bunch of crap happen, and they're living. So you can
yeah.
just imagine when, you know, they're on the other side, they're going to cause that big of a ruckus as well. And I agree with
yeah.
you on the, they throw that around too. They throw that demon and evil, and a lot of teams, for whatever reason, just throw it around for name's sake. They feed the fear, maybe to get in the house. They feed the fear to have an investigation. They feed the fear for whatever reason they do it. And, you know, I agree with you. It's something that we, like you just said, you know, we approach that in a totally different way. And I agree with you. If we find out that it's truly a situation like that, we'll call in the people that can handle it, because it's not me.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and when we talk about demonic cases being rare, I think it really depends on, because I'm one of these people, I'm always analyzing stuff. And through the course of interviewing people, I have noticed a trend of, I don't know what it is about us in the South, because Jeff and I, we're in Texas. And people in the southern states, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, those type of states, some of my friends that have teams, it seems like all of us get a lot of, well, experience. I should back up and say, the people I'm friends with, and myself included, we're teams that have been around for a good while. So, you know, people contact us. But it seems like a lot of the cases we get, 9 times out of 10, is something either demonic or very, very evil, you know. And so I don't know what's in the I don't know what's in the water down here in Texas, but people down here have a tendency to drink beer and play with Ouija boards and get into witchcraft and all that crazy stuff. So there's a lot of crazy things that go on, but, you know, it just depends on where you're at and, you know, the type of team you are and what you handle and whatnot. And, you know, because I've actually, you know, I've told this story, I don't know, 100 times on the show, but I had an investigator that was fully possessed for about 4 hours by a demon. And the reason I know this is because I burned her forehead with the Holy Bible. When I pulled the Bible off her forehead, her entire forehead was burned. Now, I know it's a Bible, but in the same sense, I look at it in a scientific sense. That Bible is an actual book, right? It's got a leather cover on it. How does a book, a physical book, burn somebody's skin? You know?
That would be one that wasn't. I couldn't handle that. I'd have to find some people. That's way above my favorite.
Well, it was one of those situations where it happened so fast that I was the only one to try to handle it, and until I got some help. But we were in a moving vehicle at the time. But what happened was, we were stupid enough to investigate with another team that we didn't know a lot about, and some of their members, and one of their members was a practicing witch. And I know there's different levels of Wiccan and witchcraft and all that, because I've studied all that in my research. But she was into the black stuff, the dark shit. And there's a demonic force out of the cemetery that's been opened. There was a portal opened by a satanic group out there. And this portal's still open, so this thing's still out there. And we had gone out there several times and collected a lot of data, and we took this team out there, and they're like, oh, yeah, let's go. You know, they're almost excited to go at this thing, you know? And I'm just like, y'all are nuts. I don't want to go after this thing, you know? I'll leave it alone if it leaves me alone, damn it, you know? But this Wiccan goes out there and provokes it. And it tried to take possession of one of their team members, and she was pale white. All of her equipment went, all of her batteries on all of her equipment went dead. She was kind of spaced out. They took her to the car, and they started throwing holy water on her, and she was screaming. Well, my dad's part of my team, and he's 66 years old and has heart problems, and I'm like, dude, I got to get my dad out of here. You know, I don't want anything to happen to my dad, especially for something that I can't see. I can't kick somebody's ass that's screwing my dad if they don't, you know, they're not physically in front of me. And so we get in the car and take off, and we go down the road, and my investigator was in the back seat, and I was in the front, and she just, she started laughing. We weren't saying anything. No one said a word. She just started laughing. I'm like, what? And then she said, my arms are going numb. And I was like, that's kind of weird. So I turn around and look, and her pupils are normally brown. Well, they were solid black. And she was just had this shitting grin on her face. And at this point, I think some higher power stepped in, an angel helped me out, because I don't know anything of, well, since that incident, I know a lot more than I do. But at that point in my life, I didn't. I just knew to unbuckle my seatbelt. I reached in my bag and grabbed my Bible, turned around and slapped it on her forehead, and she started convulsing and screaming at me and saying, you know, fuck your God, this, that, and other, that kind of language. And, 4 hours of battling. When they pulled me out of that vehicle, I felt like I had ran a marathon. I was solid red, out of breath. And all I was doing was holding my, you know, my energy was connected to her. And it completely drained the hell out of me. But, yeah, I've seen it firsthand. And I know how bad it can get. So on that point, you know, you got to watch what you say. And I've told teams this. I've told these teams, damn it, don't use the D word. Unless you know for sure, because if you keep throwing that word around, you're going to call one in.
You open it up, yeah. You open up the portals, you better know how to close them.
Yeah. So, you know, if you're telling a client, hey, you got a demon in your house, you better watch what you say, because, you know, you're going to end up having one there that wasn't there before. So, tread lightly.
I agree.
But what kind of equipment do you guys use?
Oh my, we've been told. It's funny when we go on investigations, clients that they're rather in shock as we keep coming in with case upon case upon case. You know, we started out with just recorders and cameras, and have been blessed to go to so much. You know. Spirit boxes, ovuluses. We run a 12-camera DVR system, 15 digital recorders, ozonators, grid lights, full-spectrum cameras,
night vision cameras,
various point-and-shoot cameras.
Millimeter, rim pods.
Yeah, millimeters, rim pods. I'm trying to think of the cases as I go in line. One of the best things we got, I mean, I absolutely love it. And it was funny because when Lori told me she bought it, I made a face. And I was like, you did what? And you spent how much on what? And it was a Raggedy Ann doll from the Ghost Hunter store, a K2 meter Raggedy Ann doll. And I just couldn't wrap my head around this little doll. And I'll be damned if this Raggedy Ann doll isn't one of the best pieces of equipment we have. This thing is so accurate. It is one of the best K2 meters out of all the handheld K2 meters we have. This built-in, the quality behind this doll is phenomenal. And, you know, they have, you know, apparently they're not making Raggedy Ann anymore, but they're making a teddy bear of the same the same caliber that we want to get. But, you know, yeah, we have Raggedy Ann, and she's phenomenal. So I had to get yelled at for questioning that. But it's, you know, we have so much, you know, so much, you know, we try to get one or two things new a month that we see that people have done some research on, like this Ozonator. We're waiting for that to get here. You know, we're waiting for that so we can use it, because the principle behind how it works, if in theory it works as well as the theory says, that's going to be phenomenal. And we just like trying all kinds of stuff out and seeing if it helps us, and then we'll try to promote it to other groups. But we, you know, we run a lot of stuff, a lot of toys.
Yeah, I have, I probably have 15 grand worth of stuff here at my house.
That's what Lori and I did. We dumped everything we had into savings into equipment. Once we realized that we really wanted to make the commitment, we dumped all of our savings into equipment. And that's, I love that, though. Like I said, I love that when you go to a residential and they open the door and one person has one case and another person has another case and that's all they think there is. The next thing you know, they're standing at the door and they're watching you like a tennis match. You know, how much more is coming in? How much more is coming in?
Right.
You know,
well, and, you know, it's not like you can use all that equipment on an investigation. What it is, and I've explained to people this, it depends on what's going on, number one, the claims. Two, it depends on what you're getting activity on. Because spirits, in my experience, has been they pick and choose what they want to communicate with. Right? You know, some you turn on that ghost box, they will not talk through that thing. And there's other places where you turn that ghost box on and you can have a conversation with them. And so, you know, it just depends. And, you know, I like to do a little bit of experimenting with the equipment and try different things with them to see if I can get some kind of reaction out of the spirits. But, yeah, it's good to have a large variety of things. Trust me, my group, Jeff and them, get tired of carrying all those damn cases when we don't use half the shit sometimes.
Right.
And that's why my investment training hate me, because I've learned to delegate. You guys get that, you guys over there carry that, and I'll meet you inside. Hey, I put in my time when I was carrying it all, so there you go.
Yeah, you know, and there's some places, I love saying this because it always riles Jeff up. We can go one location we went to, Jeff was in charge of putting the IR lights on the different handheld cameras, but he never did it before because he didn't know which IR light matched up with which camera. They all are different. And while he was doing that, we had an EVP recorder running at our home base while we were setting up, because we fire a EVP recorder up right when we walk onto the property, you know, even if we're not even starting an investigation, just see if we get anybody wanting to talk. And this dude, he probably gave us 35, 40 EVPs before we even started the investigation, but he was at home base, and he basically was talking shit to all of us, and he decided to make fun of Jeff because he didn't know how to set up the cameras, and he made fun of him on the EVP recorder.
Oh, we've had a few of those. And one of our newest investigators, he's Andrew. He's here with us. We call him the society part of our name, since he is our token male. He's the only guy we have right now. And he's a wonderful investigator, and he's a fantastic individual. But I'll tell you what, everywhere we go, someone cusses at him. Every poor guy. I mean, he gets told off at every investigation he does. So, yeah, I'm not quite sure what's up with that, but, yeah, they like to swear at him. They pretty much like to tell him what's up.
Jeff gets touched everywhere. I don't know what it is about that, but every time we go somewhere, Jeff's saying, something's touching me. I don't know if it's... Oh, God. Whatever.
Everybody.
But oh Lord. You're full of it, Jeff. You always are.
Quite the opposite.
Yeah, Jeff and I actually went to high school together, so we've known each other a long-ass time. So, yeah, we give each other a hard time. But, you know, being in a paranormal team, people don't see this side of paranormal. The road trips to go to locations and coming back and, you know, when you take breaks and all that. You know, most teams that I've come in contact with, everybody's real laid back and fun, and they, you know, they cut loose, right? You know, you kind of have to cut loose. You kind of have fun in order to get through some of the seriousness of some of the things that you come across. You know, if you can't have fun at what you're doing, then why do it? You know, if it's all just serious all the time.
Meg, Lori always says, if you're not having fun doing it, why do it? Just quit doing it if you're not having fun.
I'll ask you guys this. Have you noticed when, and I ask this to every team, any investigator I talk to or interview, have you noticed that the spirits tend to communicate more, or whether it's through your equipment or through EVPs, if you guys aren't paying them any attention, you're not talking to them, you know, like you're on an investigation and you and whoever you're investigating with, you're having a conversation about whatever, life, things going on in your life, right? And you'll get some of the crazy. Go ahead.
It happens all the time, and we've had clients, you know, say to us after an investigation, well, you know, I didn't think you were taking it seriously because you're, you know, sitting in there talking about, you know, laundry or whatever it is, and we've had to explain that's because spirits don't like to be ignored. They want the attention. They, you know, so they're being stubborn. They don't want to come out. They know you're there to talk to them, but they don't want to come out and, you know, show themselves or talk or for whatever reason. So, but they don't like to be ignored. And so we just start having conversations. You know, Lori and I'll start like, you know, did you pay the trash bill? You know, no, I thought you paid it. You know, no, I didn't pay it, you know, or Andrew, how's school? What's going on with your grades? And, you know, stuff like that, because, yeah, we have found that when you do ignore them, you certainly get a lot of attention from them.
Yeah, some of our best evidence has been when we're not actually asking them the typical questions. You know, especially I've noticed when you go to a place that numerous or hundreds, whatever it might be, of teams have been in and investigated, you know, those type places, I don't even really bother with the typical, you know, A and B questions that you ask. You know, you usually use those for residential because you really don't know what's there, so you have to ask those basic questions. But when you go to these places or you drop money on a place like that, you know, we'll goof off a lot and we'll get some crazy ass results, you know?
Yeah, or set up role playing scenarios in those places that follow, you know, what those places were, a jail, a hospital, you know, whatever, you know, set up scenarios where you're, in a way, cutting up and, you know, kind of making light maybe of what it was, or making it even more serious than it could have been when they were alive and in those places. And they do. They come out and let you know exactly what they think of what you're doing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. When we went to Old South Pittsburgh Hospital in Tennessee, I wanted Jeff to, we were going to do one of those reenactments in the hospital, and I wanted to go to the delivery room and put Jeff up on the table and have him pretend to be giving birth, you know, but he didn't want any part of that, and I thought that would be the funniest damn thing because we had at least gotten some spirits making fun of him.
Or at least telling you, excuse me. You know, what's wrong with it?
Yeah, but you know, Jeff didn't want any part of that, so we didn't get to do that. I'm so bummed,
Jeff. Be a sport.
I don't do things like that without getting paid first.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah, but Jeff, none of us get paid, so why should you?
Because I'm special.
Is that special bus or is that just special?
Special, period.
Okay. Well,
Jeff still has a running demand, which he's been doing this for ever since we got into paranormal, that it's my responsibility as the founder that I'm supposed to provide him with a tour bus.
Oh.
That's right. That is correct.
Let me know how that works for you. I'll try it if it works.
Well, I told him, I said, if anybody's getting a tour bus, it'd be the founder. But he said that he's so special that he deserves his own personal tour bus.
That's right.
Well,
people keep up with us for me.
I'm speechless because I'm all for that. I just don't think it'll work for me. I think if I turn around and say I'm the founder, I deserve a tour bus, my team's going to be like, yeah, see you later. You know, we'll come visit you during...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, and Jeff has this running claim that he is the paranormal sex symbol.
That's not a claim. That is the truth.
Well, then, again, maybe we should rent Jeff out. Maybe we should just take Jeff.
Yeah.
I'm not cheap.
You're not cheap.
But,
right.
Yeah.
I request class accommodations all the way.
Oh. Well, I'll work on it, Jeff. We'll get back to you on that one, buddy. I'll work on it.
Now, you guys, have you been to the Stanley Hotel?
Depending on in which way you want to mean, have we been there? Yes, we've been there. But the Stanley, unless you have a lot of money, does not allow you to do private investigations. You can go on their tours that they offer with, you know, 100 other people, but you can't do a private investigation. You can get a room there and kind of, you know, fool around in your room or carry around a camera and a recorder and see what you can catch. So, you know, that it's really a sad fact about the Stanley because, you know, you can't get in there unless you are TAPS or Ghost Adventurers. You have a big checkbook because they just don't allow it.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to, you know, shut down the Stanley for a night and investigate the whole place, but it's just not going to happen.
Right. Yeah, I had friends that went to the last paranormal conference they had there. I guess it was last year. But, yeah, they had a lot of personal experiences and crazy stuff going on. They said that place is pretty active. And that's why I asked, you know, what y'all's opinion on the activity there. But, you know, like you said, you can't really investigate it unless you got a big checkbook, which none of us in the field do.
I didn't know they had, like, quote-unquote paranormal conferences. You know, I know that TAPS is doing a big thing there in a few months where you can investigate with them, but of course as soon as they put that out, that was sold out. You know, so you know, I do know they offer stuff like that, but you know, I don't know. I don't want to sound like a snob because I'm not, we're truly not. But I really don't want to go on a ghost tour with, you know, 100 different people because, you know, I don't that just what good would
professional they're not.
Yeah, what good would that do? It's my the ooh and ah factor isn't going to happen for me going on a tour of the Stanley Hotel and just hearing about what's haunted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, what in your state in you guys' investigations, what was one of the most haunted locations y'all been to?
Public place or a private place?
We'll go with public right now.
Public. Probably one of our best.
One of the best places we do here is a bed and breakfast in Manitou Springs. The name of it is On a Ledge. And it's rich with history. It's rich with spirits that are so willing to come out and let themselves be known. We've done it several times. We have a deep relationship with the spirits there, and it's one of the best places that, you know, publicly like that that we've ever done. You know, we did a building during October for the haunted house season, the kind of haunted houses that you go in and pay your ticket and the actors scare you and that sort of thing. Well, that building was deliciously haunted, and we were afforded some, you know, some blessings, if you will, because they, to use, you know, the all-girl name, you know, because it was haunted, and we had the evidence to prove it, and they took our evidence, and they sent it to professional analyzers to make sure that, you know, we didn't fake any of the evidence we got there, and when it came back that it was unexplainable and legit by all forms that they used, you know, to go ahead and say on the radio and stuff that, you know, All Girl Paranormal Society certifies it, or, you know, loosely says, yes, it's haunted. They let us investigate the building whenever we wanted, and they gave us some radio exposure, and that was when I told you that that other team was having a fit about it. But
right.
That building was just fantastic. Some of the best stuff that we ever got, it was fantastic. And then we've had quite a few tasty residential houses. Some where the families have moved out, and, you know, because they couldn't stand the activity, that have let us investigate there. You know, just some, you know, some really fantastic residentials as well.
Right. Now, in you guys investigating, do you guys, let's see. I'm trying to think of how to ask it. What is something that's happened to, it could be any one of you guys that's over there. What was one of the craziest things that happened on an investigation as far as activity? What just kind of, either A, scared the hell out of you, or B, you walked out of there scratching your head going, how in the hell did that happen?
Well, we're deciding here.
The door, there's the ornament. We hear them audibly.
Let's see. We just did one where, you know, and again, when we caught this evidence on the DVRs, man, we went back through and looked at all the DVR cameras to make sure that nobody was in the room. We went through recorders to make sure that, you know, one of the investigators didn't walk away and go in that room, but we had a door open in a bed and breakfast that should have never opened. On a ledge where I just told you about, we had an ornament fly off of a Christmas ornament fly off of a table.
Wow.
Just, you know, there's been a few. I just had my first come to Jesus, oh my God, I'm scared to death, I can't move, I'm going to my happy place moment, and I asked for it. So be careful what you ask for, because I asked one. Lori here got something thrown at her during the haunted house experience. He threw something right from one end of the room to the other, right at her. This big rock came flying across the room, you know, just out of nowhere, came flying across the room at her. You know, those are some of them.
Wow. Yeah, I've had all kinds, you know, and I have a gentleman that's a paranormal investigator that just started. He joined our radio network, and he's got a show on Thursdays, and he's more into the cryptozoology side of things, but he's part of a paranormal team, and he's really skeptic. He believes that there's something out there, but he's never had any personal experiences, right? And he goes, you know, I just want something to happen to me. And I said, dude, be careful what you wish for. And what's funny is he went on an investigation this weekend with the team, and I saw his post. He actually had a pretty crazy experience happen to him. So I'm going to give him some hell about that, because it's funny how people go, man, I believe in it, but I've never really had any experiences, so I really don't know, you know. And then they're like, I just want to see something happen. And then when they wish for that, they get more than they want to handle, you know. Something really crazy happens that scares the hell out of them.
We get that a lot of the time. We do what sometimes we call tag-alongs. you know, people will email us. I'm sure you know this. They'll email you, they'll call you, and they'll say, we want to know what it's like to go on an investigation. So we'll wait till we have, you know, about 5 or 10 of those people in line, and we'll take them out with us, teach them to use the equipment, take them to a really good haunted place. And usually it's the husbands. The wives will, you know, we're big fans of all the shows. We love this. We watch this. And the husbands come with them and look right at us and say, oh, I don't believe in it. I'm an engineer and everything can be explained. And there is no such thing as the paranormal. And we just smile because guaranteed at the end of the night, we haven't had one of those yet where at the end of the night that the husband didn't look at us and say, damn, I can't explain any of that. You know, I love it when that happens.
Yeah. Yeah, we, in our experiences, we've had some crazy stuff. You know, like I said, I've witnessed possession, you know, and prior to that, Jeff witnessed myself and two other investigators get thrown out of a room. We were on a private residence case, and it was demonic, and we were in the bedroom. And at that point, we were, it wasn't even my team. We were on another team prior to this, and, the idiot founder that we had was all into provoking, and, you know, we had no knowledge of what the hell we were doing, and we were in there provoking, and, yeah, our ass got tossed out of that bedroom onto the hallway floor. Jeff was the only one still standing at the end of that.
They knew better.
That's because he's special.
Thank you.
No, it's not that. The spirit goes, the spirit used all its energy to put us three on the floor, and it looked at Jeff and goes, oh, hell no, I don't have enough energy to put his fat ass on the floor.
It wouldn't have mattered.
Oh, but yeah, we've seen a lot of stuff. We've had rocks thrown at us, at one at a sanatorium, and what else have we seen, Jeff? We've seen some crazy shit. Pardon my French, but yeah. We've seen a lot of objects being moved. You know, we've heard.
We had one residential location that was empty that we did, and we did it several times. And the garage, I'm telling you, the spirit must have worked on cars or built things or done or did something, because we got it on audio and video, the drill. The drill turning on and going by itself in the garage. That was pretty phenomenal.
Wow. Yeah, you know, it just seems like you go to an investigation, you know, you think you know everything, you know, that could possibly go on. But, you know, we all think that in our mind, but every time you go to an investigation and you walk out of that, you're just scratching your head going, now how in the heck did those spirits do that? You know, you always have some new question pop up in your head after you go to an investigation.
We did the bed and breakfast we told you about, the On a Ledge, and we were packed up. We were packed up, and we were leaving, and Andrew was just about to shut the van door in the back. And we were going to get in the car and all go home. And Andrew looks up and he says, no way. And I said, what? Now, we know that there was no one else in there. There was, the place was, you know, when we go in, we have the whole place to ourselves. And we turn off all the lights and we, you know, make sure everything is taken care of and done. And Andrew's screaming, no way, no way, you know, because we're done. We're gone. The equipment's down. We're in the car. And I said, what? And Lori and I turned around and sure as crap, the top room, the light was on, the ceiling fan was going, and you could see someone standing in the window. You know, talking about scratching your head, it's like, oh, man.
Well, that's the spirit going, yeah, now that you got all your equipment put up, here I am.
Yeah, or when you're going in and just starting your setup, like you said, Lori will go in and start the command center and get all the paperwork going while we're setting up all the equipment, and she'll run her recorder from jump, just like you said. But, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you're not even set up. Nothing's rolling but that one recorder, and stuff starts falling down. Doors start slamming, you know, and you want to just start saying, wait, just get 5 more minutes, just hang on. You know, just hang on. And then as soon as you're set up, the whole place goes quiet.
Oh, yeah. And I've almost come to the conclusion because a lot of the time, you know, we have full-spectrum cameras. We even have a full-spectrum DVR camera. And it seems like we hardly ever catch anything video evidence-wise. We'll catch stuff on the audio part of the video. But we had an investigation where, you know, we have some people on our team that, or at that time, not now, but at that time, we're part of the team, and they were getting the feeling that we were setting up the DVR, they were getting the feeling that the spirits didn't like the cameras. And what was crazy is we actually got an EVP of two spirits talking to one another. One spirit goes, "Where's the camera?" And you hear another voice say, "Over there." And the first spirit goes, "I'm out of here." And you know, we caught that on EVP, and which we didn't find out until later, obviously, when we did our evidence review. But he kept getting that sense, so I made a deal with the spirits in the house. I made an announcement before we started, and I said, "Look, we're going to run the cameras for the first half of the investigation. After the first half, we will shut it down, and we'll give you your house back, and we'll continue investigating." And we did. Halfway through it, we shut the DVR off, and we just used our handhelds, and we got a lot more activity the second part of the investigation after we shut that DVR down. So I'm wondering, you know, in theory, I'm wondering, you know, if they can see those IR lights. I'm still skeptical, but at the same sense, I'm wondering if there's something with that.
I'm going to tell you right now, we live in a haunted house. We've had we run a DVR set 24/7 here. And, you know, not only is it good when you have kids to run that DVR 24/7, but we run it 24/7 because our house is so incredibly active. We've had a psychic we work with out of California, a phenomenal woman, who's actually done our house and coined it the Motel 6 of the spirit world. But we got more activity out of our home before we put up the DVR cameras. And what we've noticed now is that we will get tremendous activity via recorders or even our handheld cameras in places where those DVR cameras are not set up. I do believe they know what they are. I do believe they can see it. And they absolutely are, like you said, they're like, "I'm out of here. I'm not showing you." Because we'll catch it everywhere else. But, you know, we used to get stuff phenomenal all the time. But in the four places, we switch the cameras around different parts of the house every few months. But wherever those four cameras are pointing, the activity in that those areas decreases significantly.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I'm wondering, you know, and that's one of the things I eventually want to test. I want to see if, you know, with some actual scientific experiments, if that's the case. You know, if us as investigators, we're kind of shooting ourselves in the foot because we're using these IR cameras because the spirits can see them and duck and dodge around them. So, you know, it's just one of those things that always pops in my head that I've noticed. You know, and there's other times we've had we were at a location that's highly haunted that teams rent out every weekend, and we were in our DVR there, and there was some crazy stuff going on, and actually the people that were at home base saw it on the DVR. You know, it was a shadow figure that formed behind one of our investigators and was walking up behind it. And at the same time, that investigator was, you know, getting sick and whatnot. And they were viewing it because I was up there, and they were calling me on the walkie telling us about this. And I couldn't see it with my eyes, but they could see it on camera. And we get back to the house and fire up the DVR, and we had 5 minutes of record time on that DVR, and we were there 12 hours. It wiped out the entire recording of that night, except for the first 5 minutes.
That's happening. Yeah, that's happened to us, or we'll actually have the DVRs get unplugged. The cameras will get unplugged from, you know, the part that plugs into the camera that runs to the DVR system will get unplugged at a location. We went so far one night, it kept getting unplugged as we taped it together. We came back in that room later, and the tape was on the ground, and it was unplugged again.
Wow.
Yeah, it's you have your.
They don't want to be seen. They're not going
to
be seen.
Yeah, they'll go to great lengths not to be seen if they don't want to be. You're onto something there because, you know, we are setting them up, you know, loud and proud, and you know, like you said, sometimes you just don't get any visual whatsoever. You'll get all this audio, then you go back again, set the cameras up where in the rooms you got all the audio in before, and then you'll get audio in the other rooms and not in the ones where you set the cameras. I think you're onto a theory there, a very good.
Well, yeah, you know, and it might be the sense of every investigation, like I did that one time, is run the DVR for the first part of the investigation, then turn it off and investigate the second half without the DVR, and just repeatedly keep doing that over and over on every investigation and compare your results to see if the second half you're always getting more results. Then, you know, that could kind of pinpoint, okay, the DVR has something to do with this. You know,
I agree.
Just something, yeah, just something to, I always, you know, when I talk to other investigators, that's when, you know, my mind starts spinning and I come up with new theories. And then I'm like, damn it, now I got to test that theory out.
I think you're definitely, it's absolute right there. I believe that.
Yeah, you know, I'm to the point in my paranormal career, I guess you could say, where I know that spirits exist, you know, I'll still help a client. But when we go to just regular haunted locations, you know, that has nothing to do with a client. I try to set up new experiments and try to test things out that us, the paranormal, sometimes we say, you know, out of habit, or someone taught us that thought process, or we saw it on television, whatever it might be, you know, but we'll say something during an investigation. And for instance, cold spot, right? You know, there's different variables in a cold spot as far as, you know, a drafty house, that thing. But if you're an airtight, say you're in a place where there's no cold, you know, no drafts, whatnot. It's a true cold spot. You got a temperature gauge right there, and it's dropping. And it drops 20 degrees and gets real cold. And at the same time, your K2 meter goes off. And also you catch an EVP. Well, that's valid evidence, right? You know, that something environmentally happened and you got some paranormal activity. Well, people will say, and I've heard investigators say this at events or whatnot, where they'll say, we got a cold spot here, it's dropped 20 degrees, you know, there's something drawing the energy out of the air in order to manifest to cause the K2 to, you know, light up. Well, have anybody really tested those theories to make sure that that's what's really happening? You know what I'm saying? We'll catch ourselves a lot of time in the field saying things, but not really knowing if there's any backup proof on those things. I've said it myself. I'm guilty as charged saying stuff like that as well. But now I'm to the point I'm kind of reflecting back and I'm going, you know, we got to test some of this stuff before we continue to think that way. You know, because there's no guidebook in the paranormal. There's not a book that tells you the proper procedures for investigating. You know, we all kind of come up with our own way of doing things, you know.
I agree. I highly agree.
Yeah. You know, and my latest there, I was talking to my good friend David Roundtree, who's been in the field for over 30 years, and he's on the scientific side of things and does a lot of testing of different, you know, things in the paranormal. And I told him, I said, I still, to this day, I want to test water. I want to see what's up with water because there's something about it. I know it's a conductor, you know, but I want to put it to the test and see what kind of effects it has with the paranormal. Because, hey, if there's running water by a location, you know, us as investigators, we say, well, there's a river running right by it, so that helps with the energy of, you know, for the spirits there. Well, have we actually tested that theory to make sure that that's correct? You know, and I've even had, and David even told me this, that he was at a location where there was a creek running in front of the house, and the house had a really malevolent spirit in it, and you couldn't feel the energy of the house when you were on one side of the creek. But once you stepped on the land on the other side of the creek by the house, you could feel the energy. It was like that spirit would not cross that water. Well, why is that? You know, why is that? And those are the things that I, as an investigator now, the questions I have that I want to try to find the answer to.
I think that's great. I think that we do need to know. We do need to have answers like that, and the only way around it is the serious research behind it. It's not all about going out and seeing what evidence you can capture to present. It's about the why as well.
Yeah, because I think if we have more knowledge as investigators going into a residential, you know, some more foundation knowledge about different things, so why spirits are doing this, that, and other. I mean, yeah, we're not going to find every answer. Well, I mean, we're not going to know all the answers to all the questions until it's our turn to go over to the other side. But when you're trying to help a client, you know, you need to know, you know, it would help to know more things. Well, why is this cold spot actually happening? You know, what are they doing? Or they got a well, you know, they got a underwater creek that goes underneath their house. Okay? Well, why, you know, does that have something to do with what's going on in the house, spirit, you know, with the spirit? Those type of things, because I want to be able to, and not only just for me, but for any investigator out there, to have some more knowledge when we go in to help these people, because that's the goal of any team, is to be able to help those clients and do the best that they can with the knowledge that they have. And so that's where I am in my career. It's not going out and trying to collect the best paranormal evidence anymore. It's now trying to see if I can get some more foundational knowledge for all of us to use, you know?
I absolutely agree. Absolutely, 100%.
So, yeah. Now, what do you guys have going on this year? I mean, do you have any public events coming up or special places that you're going to go investigate? Of course, you know, you can't really say about
residentials because you could get a phone call tomorrow. So, you know, residentials just kind of pop up on their own. But as far as planned out things, you've got any cool things planned out for this year?
Well, right now, you know, we're waiting for the weather to break. It's so cold right now that it's really hard to investigate anywhere because they want to run their heaters, their furnaces, whatnot. We are doing the Canyon City Prison in Canyon City, Colorado. We're doing that in April. The 21st, 22nd, and 23rd of this month, we'll be doing a convention called Galaxy Fest here in Colorado Springs. It's a big zombie, horror, paranormal, sci-fi type of convention. We'll be there with a booth there. We'll be doing that convention. We do have some residentials right now that we're just trying to schedule because the snow seems to have taken a break for a minute, so we're going to try to get one or two in there to help these people that are patiently waiting in the weather to, you know, for it to break. We are in the works for planning, hopefully, again, we had planned it and had to cancel it, but a trip to Iowa to do the Villisca Axe Murder House. So those are some things that are in the works and going on, and then not to mention we do have places here in the Springs that we consistently do so that we can continually build a relationship with the spirits to get research like you were talking about so that, you know, we don't give up that relationship so they know us when we come in and are more willing to interact with us. So all of that, you know, is really dependent on this weather. It's absurd here. I mean, I don't know how it is where you guys are, but, you know, yeah, people think Colorado, they think snow. That's, snow's one thing, but these sub-zero below temperatures we've had are just absurd, and you really, you can't do a lot. I mean, what fun is it to do an investigation when you're chattering your teeth? You ruin your own EVPs.
Yeah, well, our weather here is even more aggravating because you can't really put your winter clothes up, but you can't bring out your springtime clothes either because you just don't know what the hell it's going to do. I mean, last week, one day it was 70 degrees, and then 2 days later, the high temperature was 28 and possible sleet. Let's see, 2 days ago, Friday, we had snow, freezing rain, sleet. And the next day we had sunshine and it was 60 degrees. So our temperatures here keep skyrocketing up and down. And one day it's, you know, you can walk out in shorts. Next day you're bundled up and you got freaking snow falling. So I don't know what the weather. Weather has been screwy across the United States, it seems like, this year.
Amazingly so. But we've just, you know, yeah, Colorado, we're used to the snow and we're used to a couple days here and there of, you know, the really below zero temps, but nothing like it's been. This is crippling. It's so, you know, we kind of have to wait because the problem with, like I said, you go to a location, even a public one, and they're running their furnace, well, that screws up your evidence. But if they turn the furnace off, then you can't even move. You're so cold. So
yeah,
we're just kind of waiting on a weather break. But those definitely right now are the things we got going on.
Cool. That's excellent. Now, you guys got, of course, you mentioned the Villisca Axe Murder House. I know Johnny Hauser pretty well. He lives next door to it. He's actually the one that helps run the tours there and whatnot. So I've interviewed him before on this show. Another place in Iowa that's a good place to go is Farrar School. I've had numerous people in the paranormal that's investigated there, and there's just some crazy activity going on there.
What's the name of it?
Farrar, F-A-R-R-A-R, Farrar School. And they've had some events there, too, but that school is highly haunted. There's some crazy activity. A buddy of mine, his paranormal team is local there, and he's actually got the keys to that place and gets to go in a lot of times with his team. They were in an EVP recorder, and no one was there. The building was locked up tight, and you would think they were rearranging the furniture in there. The spirits were just doing all kinds of crazy shit. And what on your bucket list would you guys, if you had an opportunity, where would you want to investigate?
Bobby Mackey's, Eastern State Pen, Lizzie Borden House. You know, but Bobby Mackey's we want to do really bad, and Eastern State Pen I want to do because, damn it, when I lived in Philadelphia, I used to drive by that damn thing every day and not even think about it. And so I definitely want to get there and do that. Shanghai Tunnels. Andrew is from Portland, so the Shanghai Tunnels. You know, we have a big bucket list on that's just going to depend upon our, you know, I think one of our biggest would be Alcatraz. That would just be fantastic. Lori's from there. She's from the Bay Area. And to be able to investigate Alcatraz would be phenomenal.
No, if we investigated Alcatraz, I'd have to put Jeff on one of them, however they made the raft. The prisoners supposedly escaped, make a raft like they did, and put him on the raft and see if he can make it across the bay.
And he would make it because he's special, damn it.
Exactly. I've got talents that people don't know about. If I'm swimming, if I'm floating in a raft or something, all of a sudden a shark comes chasing after me, you're going to see the fastest moving boat in history.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah, there's I always like talking to different people in different states because every state has their own, you know, unique places to go. I know here in Texas, we got a lot of crazy stuff. But what's even crazier is I can drive from where I'm at and drive almost 14 hours and still not be out of the state, you know. And if I go the other direction, drive 14 hours up north, I can end up in, you know, Kentucky or somewhere like that. So, yeah, we got to go ahead.
There's a prison in New Mexico we want to do as well that they let people in, but it's a heck of a lot of money to do. So, you know, that's on the list too.
Yeah. I don't know if Jeff and I would be good at a prison. That's one thing we haven't investigated. We've investigated a jail, but we haven't actually investigated a prison. I've always wanted to do that, but, you know, when we were in that jail, that's one thing, Jeff, I was talking about earlier when I was talking about some of the crap that I got sitting here on my hard drive that I haven't released or put out. I need to find that session with you and I in the jail, because there's no really any evidence, paranormal evidence, but what we were saying during the EVP session was just freaking hilarious. Yeah. So people would laugh their butt off listening to what we were saying to the spirits there. So, but yeah, that's one thing. I've done hospitals. I've done, we've done Old South Pittsburgh Hospital. We've done a hospital here close to us called Pittsburgh Hospital, actually. And then we did Yorktown Memorial Hospital down in South Texas. And that place is crazy. But, and we did a battlefield. I still got to go over the evidence. Yeah, me and Jeff, and my dad, just one 4th of July weekend, we decided to take a road trip. And we drove to Mississippi, and everybody's like, oh, and here you're driving to Mississippi. They don't understand that Louisiana is not that big of a state. So from my house to Vicksburg is only 3.5 hours. And so we went to Vicksburg National Park and went around that battlefield and ran EVP sessions during broad daylight. And I'm curious to see if I got any evidence because, you know, I was a big Civil War person growing up, but being a paranormal investigator, I never had an opportunity to do a Civil War battlefield, you know? So
I
need to go
over that one. That's another thing about Gettysburg. Living there in Pennsylvania, I did it 100 times and never even thought about it. And then now
yeah.
I'm here and you kick yourself in the
butt. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and see, you know, it took a while for, you know, because a lot of times, you know, when you're growing up, now that you get older, you kind of forget some of your memories. You know, somebody starts talking about it, and it jars in your head, and you're like, oh, yeah, I remember that. And my dad reminded me that when I was 12 years old, because we're originally from Ohio, so we would always go up, you know, different directions going up, different directions coming down, and we'd stop and hit different Civil War battlefields. And we went to Gettysburg, and it was a 4th of July weekend, which is the weekend that Gettysburg actually happened. And we saw down on the wood line across the battlefield, we saw a regiment of soldiers marching towards us. And we were like, what in the hell is that? So we turned and walked over to where the park ranger was, and we asked, hey, y'all having a reenactment this weekend? He goes, no, it's a holiday weekend. We don't do reenactments. And we were like, there was a regiment out there. And then we turned and looked, and the regiment's gone. Well, we had a paranormal experience. We didn't even realize it at the time.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So, yeah. Man, I wish I was a millionaire because there's a lot of places I'd like to go to.
Kidding, huh? I know.
Well, cool.
Yeah, we have that on a ledge we were telling you about, that bed and breakfast. We have a spirit there that she hums for us and sings for us. Almost kind of like, you know, we just tell her to go about her normal everyday activities when, you know, she lived there. You know, and you can imagine when you hear it, you know, you hear the EVPs and you hear her humming, that she's just walking around, carrying around her laundry or, you know, dusting the furniture, and she's just humming away and singing away, and it's she's beautiful. She's wonderful, you know, and apparently she plays the harp. We haven't heard it yet, but she apparently plays the harp because the owner of the bed and breakfast will hear a harp in the middle of the night, so we're hoping to get, you know, her playing the harp for us, but, you know, we've been blessed, and, yeah, if we were millionaires doing all these big places would be great, but I, you know, I'm not going to discount the blessings and the things we've been blessed with. You know, where we have had a chance to go.
Oh, yeah. I mean, to me, all the great, big places are great, but we've had an opportunity to investigate several places around here that no other paranormal team has ever gotten into, and we were the first ones there and, you know, got a lot of evidence. So it was really cool to be the first one in there and to actually collect evidence at a place that no one else has had access to. And so I kind of like those places where they're untouched, you know, it's a new ground, and you go in there and collect a lot of stuff.
Yeah, we've had a few of those too, or where they've allowed us in first, and it is good because you get the first of it, you know, and it is fun. It's an honor. It's a blessing we consider when we, you know, are awarded that from the spirit world.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was talking the other day to a buddy of mine. Jeff, I hadn't told you this yet. Here's just something to make your brain spin a little bit. You know, in theory, right, okay, this is all theory, that God created all of us, right, created the earth, right? Well, if there are other beings out there, you know, on other planets, which would be stupid not to say there are, as big as the universe is. Well, if God created the entire universe, he created these other races on these other planets, right? Well,
right.
We go to the afterlife, right? Our everybody on Earth goes to the afterlife. We know that. The people that go to heaven or hell, whatever it might be, are we the only race that's there? Are there aliens there from other races? None of us have ever asked the spirit that in an EVP session. I'd be curious to see if a spirit would tell us that. Or does God have it set up where everybody from this planet has a place, everybody from another planet has a different spot, you know what I'm saying, and they don't intermingle? Just a thought. Ask a spirit sometime, hey, have you ever come across somebody that's not from this world over there?
You know, that's a very valid question. I haven't really thought about it, but it is. I mean, I want to know things like, you know, can you speak a different language as soon as you get on the other side? Is it true that you're healed and you feel no pain? You know, those things, I wish we could get answers.
Oh, yeah. We try to do that every now and then, you know, when we're not in a residential. We'll try asking spirits different questions like that. We try to find out as much as they'll tell us about the spirit world. And through our friends that are psychics and who can actually, you know, hear them talk and can talk back to them and whatnot, a lot of them, it seems like they start telling you secrets about what's going on over there. But as soon as they start telling you stuff, they all of a sudden they stop talking and disappear. Like somebody above them, higher power, says, oh, you said too much. You're done. Goodbye. You know?
Well, I believe like somebody, there's definitely rules.
Yeah, exactly. And what's interesting, a personal experience of mine was a girlfriend of mine that I dated for over 3 years, she passed away, and about a week after her death, buddy of mine that has gifts was sitting on my couch, and she decided to pay me a visit and started talking to him. And she knew I was in the paranormal when she was alive. she actually made fun of me. You know, did you see any ghosts and start laughing at me? And then here she is, a damn ghost in my house. Kind of weird. And she said that she come across a person over there that has died twice. She said that, which we all have this idea that it happens, that angels do walk among us as human beings trying to help. We've all had those kind of, you know, experiences or hear of people that have had that. She also said that that God and his archangels, they have their own little section over there from the rest of them. It's not like you can just walk up to Jesus and God and say, hey, what's up, dude? You know, and have a conversation with them. They're kind of in a different section. Yeah, she started divulging a little bit, but she couldn't go too far because, oh, she did say, she held up the Bible, and she said, you see this? This was written for you on this side. Over here, we live by a different set of rules than what's in this Bible.
Wow.
Yeah. The Bible was created for man. When you come to the spirit world, what she's saying is, God has a different set of rules for the spirit world. So, whether that's true, I don't know, but it was coming from my girlfriend, so there you go.
It's a theory to think about. I mean, I'm sitting here speechless thinking about it. I wonder. I mean, I wonder what the different set of rules are.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, there's a lot of things. Like I said, the more I'm in the paranormal, the more questions I get. It's like I dig myself further in the hole with questions than answers, you know? You know, when somebody that I've been with for over 3 years passes away and is now divulging stuff about that side because they know I'm in the paranormal, you're like, okay, well, is she telling you the truth? You know, what's going on here? But, yeah, it's kind of crazy.
I agree, but at least it keeps us doing what we're doing.
That's the fuel. That's what keeps us going. You know, those questions that we all have, that's what that fires us up and keeps us, you know, on this path. And the bottom line is with the clients, you know, which I put that the top priority of anything in the field, those clients can't really just open the Yellow Pages and, you know, get some help when and tell their experiences to somebody that's not going to think they're nuts, you know. So helping a client and leaving that house better than what you found it in is always the best payment in the world to me.
We're with you, buddy. We agree, absolutely. To find out that they're at peace, the kids are sleeping in their own beds, the fighting is stopped. I mean, it makes it all worth it.
Oh, definitely. Now we're coming down to the last 5 minutes or so of the show. So, any websites, anything you want to throw out there for people to be able to learn more about you or contact you for anything?
Well, absolutely. They can absolutely find us on Facebook. I will be honest and say that I shamelessly look every day at our Facebook page. You can also reach us on our website at www.allgirlparanormalsociety.com. Take a look at that. See some places we've done. Our email address is on there as well. It's spelled a little differently, so to avoid the confusion, check out our webpage. And then, you know, if you want to email us, email us. Phone number's plastered everywhere at 719-434-7575. You can call us with questions, comments, concerns. You know, we love looking at other evidence. We love, you know, talking to the paranormal. You know, we're very open, and we love it. And, you know, we have a... If you're in the Colorado Springs area or, you know, are going to be in town, we're having a meetup on Saturday at the Village Inn on Academy Boulevard in Palmer Park from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. It's anything and everything paranormal. You don't have to be an investigator. You know, just come on in and sit down and talk with us. We have the whole place to ourselves pretty much, so just come on in and sit down, get to know us, get to know what we do, just talk about the paranormal. You know, and I appreciate it so much, guys, having us on the show. I thank you so much.
Hey, no problem, and I'll be talking to you, I guess, next month. On my calendar.
Yeah, that's great. The team, we all love it. I just got, like Lori says, I talk in the first person, and they know I mean all of us, but nobody else does. So let me rephrase that. The entire team appreciates that you let us on. Lori and Andrew here, the entire parts of the team that aren't with us right now, we all appreciate it. It's not just me, and I really need to learn different on talking like that in the first person. They know I mean them, but you guys don't. So we all appreciate it, guys, so very much.
Hey, not a problem. And like I said, I look forward to talking to you and your team again. Next month you'll be on my other radio show. But thanks for coming on tonight, and I wish y'all all the continued success, and hopefully you'll have a great year in the field. So thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you next month.
All right. Y'all have a good night.
Bye, Jeff.
Bye-bye. Cool.
All right. Nice little group there out of Colorado Springs, all-girl paranormal society.
And one guy.
And one guy. Who do we have? Let's see here. Oh, next week we'll have Sylvia Nance on the show. So that's our guest next week. Tuesday on Terrify Radio, we will have Joe, he'll be on this show next month, Joe Andrade. He's a spiritual counselor, demonologist, had some really interesting things that's happened to him growing up, so we'll talk with him, and that'll be a great show for Tuesday night on Terrify Radio. FAPS Radio, tomorrow, they're not going to be broadcasting. Let's see. You got Full Spectrum on Wednesday. You got Project Paranormal Radio on Thursday. And possibly, I'm going to be getting them on the show here, Jeff, pretty soon. They're very controversial, but they are coming to our network. Controversy always gets a lot of attention. So that's why I'm bringing them to the network. Unlike you. Of course, you're controversial in your own way, Jeff. But the Debunker Boys, they might start their first broadcast this Saturday, but they are joining the network and will be broadcasting on Saturday nights. They like to take a lot of evidence, Jeff, that people put out there on the Internet or whatnot, and they'll actually analyze it and try to debunk it. And of course, there's a lot of people that don't like them because they do that, but in the same sense, if they find evidence that they can't debunk, then they will basically promote that team, you know, give them props for collecting legitimate evidence. Because there is a lot of crap that's put out there, Jeff, that people think is paranormal evidence, but I've even seen some stuff on the Internet that I'm just like, that's not paranormal, you know?
Right.
But They do that, and, of course, they get a lot of hate mail, but they're going to be joining the network, and I'm going to be getting them on our show as some guests to talk about that. But that's pretty much it. You got something to play to get us out of here?
Yes. As you may or may not know, today is the 50th anniversary of the Beatles' first appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Oh, that's right.
So this is the Beatles, Ballad of John and Yoko. Have a good night. And have a good night.
All right. Good night, everybody.